Lucy is talking to Charlie Brown. And she says, "You know what I don't understand, Charlie Brown? I don't understand love." Charlie Brown responds, "Who does?" She says, "Explain love to me, Charlie Brown. Explain love. I want to know what love is. Explain love to me, Charlie Brown." He says, "You can't explain love. I can recommend a book, or I can recommend a poem, or even a painting, but I can't explain love." And Lucy says, "Try, Charlie Brown, try. Try to explain love to me." So Charlie Brown says, "Well, let's say I see this beautiful, cute little girl walk by." Wait a minute, says Lucy. "Why does she have to be cute? Huh? Why can't someone fall in love with someone with freckles and a big nose? Explain that, Charlie Brown." Charlie Brown responds, "Well, maybe you're right. Let's just say I see this girl walk by with a great big nose." Wait a minute, says Lucy. "I didn't say a great big nose." Charlie Brown just puts his head down and says, "Good grief. You not only can't explain love, you can't even talk about it." Well, you know what, folks? There's a lot of confusion today in our society about love. I mean, we use that word love in so many different ways in the English language, don't we? I mean, I love my wife. I love my dog. I love my mother-in-law. I love pizza. I love apple pie, baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolets. I think when we use that word love in all those different ways, it means something different in each one of those scenarios, doesn't it? I mean, I hope it means something different when you and I say, "I love my wife and I love my dog." I hope that means something different. Or, "I love my dog and I love my mother-in-law." Now, I've got to be careful because my mother-in-law is here this morning. So I've got to be careful with that. But it means something different. We use that word in so many different ways. There's a lot of confusion about what love is. That confusion's brought out in a little poem. I think the title of it is "What is Love?" Goes like this. What is love? Love is swell. It's so enticing. It's orange gel. It's strawberry icing. It's chocolate mousse. It's roasted goose. It's ham on rye. It's banana pie. Love's all good things without a question. In other words, it's indigestion. And you know what? We use it in such a broad way. What's love? And to make things worse, we have love portrayed on TV. Our kids are growing up, some of them watching TV or going to the movies. And there's portrayal of what love is on TV and in Hollywood. And I'm going to tell you, what's being portrayed is not love at all. What it is basically lust. But they're growing up in a world where this term love is very nebulous. It's very confusing. In fact, it's kind of like the saying, love to a tennis player means nothing. To a lot of people, the word love means nothing. Well, Charlie Brown said, "You can't explain love. You can't even talk about it." Sorry, Charlie. We're going to do that today. So take your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 13. And not only are we going to talk about love, I'm going to attempt to give a little explanation of what love is according to God's word, according to the Bible. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Let's look there. Listen to what it says. It says, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Or if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, we want to look at that and just ask the question, what is love? First of all, love is an unpaid debt. It's an unpaid debt. If you look at verse 8a, it speaks of two different kinds of debts. It speaks, first of all, of debts that you and I must pay. I call these are our dollar debts. These are the kind of debts we need to pay. Owe nothing to anyone. Now, you got to ask the question, what does that mean? Owe nothing to anyone. Does that mean that we should never borrow money? Does it mean that taking out a loan for a mortgage is wrong? Does it mean that all credit card buying is wrong? Because when you buy in a credit card, you're borrowing money. Does this prohibit all borrowing? Is all borrowing wrong? Now, that's relevant. That's relevant in a lot of different areas in our personal lives. It's relevant to the life of this church because we are in an expansion program. Some of you that are new may not know that. But we are planning, we bought this area over here on this side of our church. We have an acre and, or more over there, and we're planning to expand the church. Now, when we built this church, remember, some of you were here in the bunker. We used to meet in the basement, and then we built up. When we went to build, I had a couple of people in the church come to me, and they said, Pastor, we should not borrow. It's not right to borrow money. Don't borrow any money. Church should never borrow money. I said, you mean you think that borrowing money is wrong? Yeah. You never borrow money. It says here, owe nothing to anyone. I said, well, you have a house, don't you? Yeah. Do you have a mortgage on the house? Oh, yeah. Well, did you borrow money? Oh, well, that's different. That's different. I said, well, wait a second. How is that different? Well, that's different because that's an individual. The church should never borrow money. I said, well, who is the church? I thought you were the church. And if it's wrong for the church to borrow, then it must be wrong for you to. Well, that's different. Does this mean we should never borrow money? Let me just share. You know, the Bible never says that you should not borrow money. Did you know that? It never. In fact, in the Old Testament specifically, it gives actually regulations for borrowing and lending money. Never says not borrow. Now, it does say in the book of Proverbs that the borrower is the lender's slave. You can get into debt and you can get into bondage. Well, what does this mean when it says, owe nothing to anyone? Well, I think what it means here is pay your debts. Pay your debts. Pay your dollar debts. Don't get into so much debt you can't pay it back. Don't let your outcome or outgo be more than your income. Don't do that. We are to pay our debts. Christians are required by God to pay our debts, to pay our debts. You say, well, you know, Pastor, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know how much debt I'm in. I mean, I'm in debt up to my ears, and I just can't pay it. How do you get out of debt? Well, let me just share a couple things with you, okay? This is very important. Because we're to owe no one anything. If you're in debt, I'm going to tell you how to get out. Number one, if you don't have a job, you get a job. Say, I try to get a job. Pray and ask God to provide for you a job. And then when he does, Give thanks to him for your work and for your wage. Because it's God who gives you the strength to make, to work and to make money. Did you know that? Scripture says that. So work and give God glory and thanks for your work and wage. Then, next, when you get your paycheck, take out your tithe. First thing, take out 10% of what you get in and give it to the Lord's work. You say, but Pastor, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. The scripture says in Malachi 3, bring all the tithe and all the offerings into the storehouse and see, test me. God tells us to test him and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of all your increase, that your barns may be full and your vats may overflow with new wine. Now this is not health, wealth, gospel. I'm not talking about the more you give to God, the more he's obligated to give to us. He doesn't have to give us anything. But I'll tell you, there's a principle here. It's like the young man that stood up, I think it was last week, and maybe you identified with him when he stood up and said, you know, I sat here in church and I debated in my heart whether to give a tithe. I had a lot of bills that last month. I had a lot of money obligations, and I just debated, should I give? And God gave him the victory, and he gave. And the next day, he was going through his pants, some pants he hadn't worn for 2 years. And he found a wad of bills in those pants, not only that covered the money he gave, but $10 extra. And then he got the $60 check back from Verizon Wireless. And he said, you know what? God spoke to me and said, you know what? You did the right thing. You did the right thing. And as I told him, that doesn't always happen, you know, finding a wad of money. I went home and looked in a couple pants, but it doesn't always happen. But what happens is God will make that 90% that's left over go further than the 100% if you didn't give. I don't know how that works. It works. I mean, he teaches a stewardship that it all belongs to him. So work and give God thanks for your wages and thanks for your work. And then take out your tithe. Then pay your bills. Take out your rent and take out your food and your clothing and pay those things. And then start to pay off your credit cards. If you're in debt, start to pay those credit cards off. And take the credit card with the most debt on it. Most interest on it. And don't pay the minimum. Even if it's $5 or $10 more a month, start to pay those down. And don't buy things that you don't need. This is important, folks. If you want financial freedom, you've got to do this. I've got to do this. And you start to pay it off and pay that one credit card off. Then you start on the next credit card with the greatest interest on it and pay that one off until you have it all paid off. And then you do this. You perform an operation on yourself. You perform plastic surgery. You cut up those credit cards. Maybe keep one. For necessities, maybe gasoline or something like that. And every month, you pay those cards off. Because I'm going to tell you, the pay, buy now, pay later is not good stewardship. Amen. Now, I hear it all, that one amen. Thank you. But it's not. It's not. The Bible says, owe nothing to anyone. Pay your debts. Pay your dollar debts. But there's a second kind of debt here. Did you see it? Owe nothing to anyone except what? To love one another. And you see, this is the debt you can never pay off. Listen, you can never pay it off. This is your love loan. This is your love loan. You can't pay this debt off. We are in debt. It's a debt of love. You say, who are we in debt to? Well, first of all, we're in debt to God. I'm going to tell you, folks, we owe a love debt to God. Because God has poured out, shed abroad, deluged us with his love at the cross. He has loved us. He loved you. And if you're saved here today, he loved you enough to save you. He loved you enough to speak to your heart and tell you about his son. And he gave you the grace to repent and the faith to believe. And he saved you and he poured out his love. By this we know love, not that we love God, but he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I mean, that's love. And you just think of who you are. And he did that for you. Think of who I am. Why would he do that? Because he loves us. And he has just poured out his love on us. And we owe him to love him back. And that is a debt, folks, we will never get paid off. We'll never pay off our love loan from God. We'll be loving him for all eternity. And we won't be even close to getting that love debt paid off. He has poured out his love. We need to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. It's the first and great commandment. We owe him. You know what else we owe? We owe our brothers and sisters in Christ a love debt. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Love one another. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You owe them this. Is that easy? I'm going to tell you what, folks. It's not always easy to love Christians. You know, I've been a Christian now for 42 years. I came to know the Lord when I was one. And I've been in full-time Christian ministry for over 33 years. And I'll tell you what, there's some people that have been really hard for me to love. If I would say, you know, is there somebody maybe even in the church that's hard for you to love? And you say, yeah. That's the one God wants you to love. That's the one God wants you to love. That's what he's speaking to you today. I want you to love that person. It's hard for me to love him, her. Go love him. By this, people are going to know you're a follower of Jesus when you love other believers. We've got a debt. And by the way, we're not going to pay that one off either. We're not going to pay that off because you can never get to a point where you say, you know, I paid it off. I've loved enough now. Abound still more. Keep on loving. That's what the book says. And there's somebody else we owe a debt to. Know who that is? The world. Do you remember what Paul said back in Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse 14. He says, I am a debtor. I'm a debtor, both to Greeks and barbarians, to the wise and to the foolish. I am in debt. That's a debt of love. That's a debt of love. God's poured his love into us, not for us to be a reservoir. He poured his love into us for us to be a channel, to get his love out to the world. And we're a debtor. If you have the gospel of Jesus, you know what the gospel is. You know what God has done. You know what this table means. You have a debt to the world. And the best way we can love the world, what's the best way we can love the world? Share about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. That's why Paul says, and as for my part, he goes on right after that, I'm a debtor. As for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first, then also to the Greek. He says, man, I have a debt to the world, and therefore I'm eager to tell them about Jesus. Because that's the best way you can love, is to help somebody come to know the Lord. Now, love is a debt you can never pay off. But we're always to be keeping up with the interest. Therefore, love every day in every way. And the more you pay, the more you owe. The more you owe, the more you pay. And the more joy you have when you love. And you're going to get sick of me saying this. And I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm getting close to glory. I don't know. But when we get to the end of our life, when you get to the end of your life, only two things matter. Only two things. It's simple. Only two things. Did you and I love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Did I love God? And did I love some people while I was down here? Did I love people? Yeah. Nothing else matters. I don't care if you have a big house in Beverly Hills. I don't care if you have $1 zillion in the bank. You lay on your deathbed, it's not going to matter one iota. Only it's going to matter is, did you love God and did you love some people along the way? That's it. Love is an unpaid debt. Secondly, love is a fulfillment of the law. It's a fulfillment of the law. Do you see it there in verse 8b? It says, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, and then he goes down to verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of, is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Twice it says that, doesn't it? In verse 8 and in verse 10, love fulfills the law. Now, first of all, love is always linked to the law. Did you know that? Love is always linked to the law. When Paul mentions the law here, he's referring to the Mosaic law, to the Ten Commandments, and to the other instructions that God has given to us through Moses and in the book. And God gave his laws, listen, to his people. To his people because he loved them. And he's given us his laws in Scripture because he loves us. He gave them to his people for their good. And he has given us his laws for our good. Our good. Because we need the law. We need the law. The law was given to us as guidelines, boundaries, by which we can live and be blessed. The law circumscribes us and protects us as we follow its guidelines. And we need guidelines. We need boundaries. We need instructions to live by. Like a train needs tracks. Now I want you to imagine this. Here's a train coming down the tracks. Here's a train coming down the tracks. And it's coming down. He says, man, these tracks are narrow. These tracks are restricting. I don't think I want to run on these tracks anymore. I think I want to jump over here. Can you imagine a train saying that? And so he says, he jumps over here. What happens? You get a train wreck. But isn't that what happens in life? We look at God's laws. Young people, teenagers, listen to me. God's laws are just so narrow. They're just so restricting. I want to be free. I want to do my own thing. I'll tell you what. And you get off of God's law, you get off the tracks, your life becomes a train wreck. Let me tell you, God didn't give his laws to us to restrict us and to make life miserable. God gave his laws to us because he loves us. And he doesn't want our life to be a train wreck. Or just picture an airplane. Here we are, flying along. And I'm coming down to, you know what? That runway's too narrow. That runway's restricting. It just goes that, I don't want to go that way. I think I'll land over here in the field. What do you get? Come on. Anybody wake? A plane crash. I'll tell you, get a plane crash. How many people have done that with God's law? And said, you know what? Too restricting. I think I want to be over here. I think I want to do my thing. And I'll tell you what, you crash. God gave us his law for our good. And the law of God and love is always, listen to this, always linked to the law, because the law flows out of the heart of God, and God's heart is a heart of love. So the law is always, love is always linked to the law. But secondly, love always keeps the law. It always keeps the law. Did you see that in verse 9? Look at verse 9. Paul lists there four of the last of the five commandments in the Decalogue, or if you have the King James, he lists all five. And these commandments are those that deal specifically with our interaction with other people. They deal with our relationships with people. And when we, listen, when we truly love as God loves, we keep the Ten Commandments. We keep the Ten Commandments. All the thou shalt nots ultimately flow from love. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to sleep with his wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. You may want to kill him, but you're not going to kill him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal his stuff or his good name. You love your neighbor, you are not going to begrudge him his prosperity or get angry because you have less than he has. You see what the law does? The law merely spells out what love looks like in concrete terms. That's what the law does. Now some today in our society advocate, and it's been around for a while, the new morality. New morality is just the old immorality wrapped or garbed in postmodernism. The new morality. And what they say, listen to what they say. If you live in love, you do not have to worry about the commandments of God. Just love people. But folks, that's not true. In fact, love without the law is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. There have been people who have justified adultery, with that kind of thinking, saying, we love each other, so God must want us to be together. Now, I have never personally, I don't think, heard this, but I know I've talked to pastors who said that they've talked to people that told them this. God told me to leave my husband, or God told me to leave my wife so that I can be with this other person because we love each other. God would never tell you that. God would never tell you that. Love does not trump the commandments of God. It keeps the commandments of God. Listen to what John Stott says on these verses. Very, very instructing. He says, the truth is, quote, the truth is that love cannot manage on its own without an objective moral compass. That is why Paul wrote Not that love is the end of the law, but that love is a fulfillment of the law. For love and law need each other. Love needs law for its direction, and law needs love for its inspiration. Love always keeps the law. Love, folks, is an unpaid debt. Love, true love, biblical love, is a fulfillment of the law. And then thirdly, love is benevolent behavior. Verse 9b and 10a, it says there that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. You take all the commands of God, all the commands of God dealing with relationship between people, and you sum them up, you add them all together, and what you get, love your neighbor as yourself. Yep. That's it. The whole sum, the sum of, listen, all the commandments, it's all summed up in 7 words in the English. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, this is something here. Love is positive behavior. Love treats others the way we want them to treat us. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that is found 9 times in the Bible. It's found once in the Old Testament in Leviticus 19:18. It's repeated 8 times in the New Testament. This is important. Love is treating others the way we want them to treat us. Love, true love, is behavior. Do you want others to forgive you when you blow it? Wake up. Do you want others to forgive you when you blow it? Yes. Forgive them when they blow it. Do you want others to be kind to you? Be kind to them. Do you want others to be patient with you when you're being kind of a jerk? Oh, not, you wouldn't do that, but you do. Yes, I do. Be patient with them. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. It's positive behavior. I mean, we know this, but this is just to stir up remembrance of it, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated, the way you want them to treat you. It is benevolent behavior. Love always seeks the highest good of the one that we're loving. Love's behavior, positive behavior. And love is not, and I don't know if this is a double negative, not negative behavior. Love does no harm or wrong to a neighbor. And maybe we could give a question here for clarification, since it was asked in the Bible. You remember the lawyer that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, well, who's my neighbor? Trying to justify himself, it says. And Jesus told him the parable of what? Come on, class. The Good Samaritan. And he talked to him about the Good Samaritan. Well, this word neighbor, who is our neighbor? Who's my neighbor? This word neighbor is an adverb in an article. And you know what it means? The person that is near to me. The person that is near to me. That's your neighbor. So let me apply a little bit here. Who's my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? The people you live with are your neighbor. In the home, your husband's your neighbor. Your wife is your neighbor. Love them. Besides loving Jesus Christ, that is your assignment. Love them. Men, as Christ loved you, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. Love your kids. Even on those days when you feel like strangling, love them. Teenagers, young people, love your parents. And love your brothers and sisters. And again, I know there's that's tough, but love them. And I think, why is it that we have a problem? We love people outside our families more than we love people in our families. True? Yeah. Sometimes. But that's your neighbor. And then the people here in the church, they're your neighbors because we rub shoulders with them. We know them. We need to love one another here in the church. And then in your neighborhood, at home, there's people around you. Love them. Love your neighbor. And then there's the people where you work that you're near to, you rub shoulders with. Love them. Whoever you're near, love them. Don't do harm to them. Don't hurt them. Love them for Christ's sake. That's what he wants. That's love. It's not just talk. It's not just kind of being there. Love them. I know there's a story, and it goes like this. Once upon a time, a man fell into a pit, and he couldn't get himself out. And a sensitive person came along and said, I feel for you down there, and walked away. And a practical person came along and said, I knew you were going to fall into that pit sooner or later. And he walked away. And a Pharisee came along and said, only bad people fall into pits. And he walked away. And then a mathematician came along and calculated how deep the pit was. And he walked away. And then a newspaper reporter came along and wanted an exclusive story on the pit. He wrote a story, but he walked away. And then an IRS man came along and asked if, hey, did you pay your taxes on the pit? But then he went away. And then a self-pitying person came along and said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. And he walked away. And then a mystic came along and said, just imagine you're not in a pit. And he walked away. And then an optimist came along and said, things could be worse. And he walked away. And then a pessimist came along and said, things will get worse. And he walked away. Now the question. Did any of them love the man in the pit? No. Because love's not words. Love's not good advice. Love is behavior. Love is behavior. But the story's not over. Then Jesus Christ came. And he saw the man in the pit. And he went down in the pit. Down into the muck and the dirt and the filth. And he took that man and he lifted him up out of the pit. And as he did, he died. That man was me. That man was you. You want to know what love is? Look at the cross. That's love. So, Lucy, what is love? Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you what love is. I can explain it. Love is an unpaid debt. We owe to God, we owe to God's people, and we owe to the world. That's what it is. Lucy, love is a fulfillment of the law. It always is linked to the law because the law flows out of the heart of God, and God's heart is a heart of love. And it always keeps the law. And love is benevolent behavior. Lucy, you want to see what love is? Look at the cross. That's love. Lord, thank you so much that you give us this description of what true love, biblical love, scriptural love is all about. And I pray, Lord, I pray for my heart. I pray for the heart of everyone here. Help us to be better lovers of God and lovers of those around us. Because, Lord, I'm going to say it. I'll say it to you, Lord, like I said it to them. I believe, Lord, that's the only thing that matters. To love you and to love people. All the rest is frill. All the rest is just cotton candy. Maybe sweet, but there's nothing to it. Help us to love, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray.